just such a privilege to be among you again. And as Benson said, we are involved in a church planting initiative up in the Umgeni Valley. And much of that comes from this church. So you guys sent us as a couple and as a family out. And then there are a bunch of other families who are converging on that area over the course of this year. And many of them are from the wider family or families of churches that we belong to or were part of in the past. So many of those people are sons and daughters of this house, and some are from related families. And so we are gathering there up in Howick to plant a new church, and we are hoping that the church will have the flavor of this church. And so that's partly why we need your help. In any help we can get from you, we are really, really keen on. I know a particular team came from you not so long ago, and we went out on the street, and it was a fantastic time together, and we're hoping for much more of that in the months to come, looking at Masala. So I bring you greetings from the Umgeni Church Plant. It doesn't quite have an official name yet, but we're getting there. And at some point we will announce that church plant is due to be launched in February next year. So the first weekend of February next year, please put it in your diary. We'd love many people from here to come and celebrate with us on that day as we plant that church. So won't you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to read the same scripture that Craig read last week. Galatians chapter 5, 13 to 26. Galatians is in the New Testament. It's one of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches, and this one to the church in Galatia, which was a city. So, starting from verse 13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying in each other." Let's just pray together. Father, we want to thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you have vested us with these just such important and such powerful words that can bring change and transformation, not only to our own lives personally, but to our church community, to our city in which we live, to the nation in which you've set us, and even the continent and the whole world, Lord. These are the words of life. Lord, we want to thank you that you've given us words of life. And Lord, we just pray this morning that you'd speak words of life to us, that we'd hear your word as if it comes from the very mouth of God, in Jesus' name. That you would, that this word would take up residence in our hearts, and we would be changed by it, and our daily practices would be changed and transformed as you speak your word into our hearts. Won't you come by your Holy Spirit? Lord, we realize that apart from you, unless you're operating, unless you're moving, Lord, none of these things are possible. But we know that you are the living God, and you're right here among us right now. And so we look to you, Lord, this morning that you do miracles in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I just, we're obviously, as a church, you've been preaching through a series called Freedom in Christ. And that series has been looking at freedom in the Spirit, sorry. And that series has been looking at how we are free in the Spirit, because the life of the Spirit is so wonderful that God gives us His very being to live inside of us. As one theologian said, God becomes more internal to us than we are to ourselves. And so God comes to live in us by His Holy Spirit. And it's only when we are born again that that miracle happens. And that, and Craig, as Craig's preached so well last week, you must be born again for this to happen. And being born again and then filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, these things are our inheritance as people of God. It's what the Old Testament people looked forward to, was a time when the Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, and we're living in that age and in that era. And so we have that privilege. And then Galatians says here, and Paul writing Galatians says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And these are known as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are these things. And, you know, I could spend the whole time this morning explaining to you what love means, what kindness means, what goodness means, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to explain to you what these things mean. I think all of us experience these things when God is around. When we look at those things, many of those things is what we want for ourselves, isn't it? We want people to be kind to us. We want people to love us. We want people to be gracious and generous and good to us and faithful to us and self-controlled when they're around us and bearing with us. That's what we want for ourselves. But this is not something that we can just achieve, you know, ourselves. We can't just do it, you know, by our own effort. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Spirit. And really, when we're looking at these fruits of the Spirit, these are outcomes of a life of walking in the Spirit. And if we want these things for ourselves, actually, what you sow, you will reap. And so as you desire to become someone who is patient and kind and generous and so on and so forth, the fruit of the Spirit, so too that is manifest in others, in the life of others. But I just want to kind of highlight this morning that this is something that comes as an output of walking in the Spirit. And Craig preached an excellent sermon last week about how we go about walking in the Spirit. And I kind of want to piggyback on the back of that. So I don't want to spend this morning explaining to you what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. Rather, I want us to speak a bit more about walking in the Spirit. Because it's when you walk in the Spirit that these fruits become evident. It's like when you're plugged in. In John 15, Jesus tells the story of, I am the vine and you are the branches. And whoever is a branch in me bears fruit. And it's not us who bears fruit. It's the life of God in us who bears fruit. And so really the fruit of the Spirit is descriptive of the kingdom of God, of what it's going to be like living in the kingdom of God. And as we live in the kingdom of God, so we experience these things. And that's, I mean, if you think about the kingdom of God, you think about heaven one day, everyone will be like this. Everyone will be loving. Everyone will be patient. Everyone will be kind. And so it's the realities of the age to come that are breaking into the present. And that comes by the life of God among us. not by just our own efforts, but I am going to come to the fact that there is effort involved, just as Craig preached last week. It's not just by our own efforts, by the life of God. It's by us walking in step with His power. His power that is manifest in us, so that we can kind of walk forward in these things. And so it's a normal outcome of being plugged into Jesus that you have these a wonderful fruit of the Spirit. And it's not really what we see in the society around us, is there? I mean, what we see in the society around us tends to be in Galatians 2, Galatians 19, verse 21. The next slide. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness and orgies, and the like. We know that that's the society we live in. And that's not just here in South Africa, all over the world. You just have to go on the internet or turn on Netflix or multi-choice. You can see this stuff. It's all there. And this is the society we live in. And if we are going to be different, if we are going to lay hold of the inheritance of the kingdom of God, well, then some effort has to be made, because this is the stuff that will overtake you if you're just kind of moseying along and not keeping in step with the Spirit. Even as a Christian, these things creep in. Is that your experience? Certainly my experience. These things creep in. And so really, Craig's sermon was so brilliant last week. He was calling us to be devoted to God. And I want to get in on the back of us and call us to be devoted, to devote ourselves to some things. And devotion is a word when the Bible speaks about things that are devoted to God. In other words, they are given over entirely to God. Often in the Old Testament, things that were devoted were sacrificed, were killed, were made entirely His and not used for any other purpose. And so too, our lives are to be wholly devoted to God, not for common use, not for given over to other idols in life. And so I want to speak us about how we devote ourselves to God. And here in Acts, this scripture we've been living with in our church plant. God has really been speaking to us about this, about what the early disciples did. And it says in Acts 2 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So here we see a snapshot in the New Testament of the life in the Spirit. This passage comes immediately after the passage of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So you want to see what the life in the Spirit looks like? Read this passage, because it shows you what they were getting on with, what the life of the Spirit, what the presence of God among them by His Spirit caused to be birthed, caused to be acted, caused to be generated in the place they were. And we've just been really struck about four things that these disciples, these early disciples, devoted themselves to: the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. I'm going to rephrase those things for our present age. And this is going to be my sermon for the next 5 minutes. Have we? We need to, you and I, in this era, in this day, we need to devote ourselves to truth in an age of fake news. To love in an age of me first. To gratitude in an age of addiction. And communion in an age of distraction. And I know Craig touched on some of these things. In fact, when I listened to his sermon, I thought, Craig, you've stolen my sermon. But we've been listening to the same podcast, so you can hear. But I want us to go through these four things this morning because I think they are prophetic for the moment in which we find ourselves at this point in time, globally, but particularly here in South Africa. So let's start with truth in an age of fake news. So our situation is we have an age of falsehood. I mean, fake news is one of those things, but alternative facts and propaganda. In fact, we live in a society that is full of propaganda. You just turn on the television, every advertisement is propaganda of one kind or another. In fact, the same policies, the same understanding, psychological understanding of how to influence the public that was used in Nazi Germany was picked up post-World War II and used by the advertising industry globally to ensure that there was the trading of products and so on and so forth. And so we live in an age of falsehood. So, I mean, we know that. When we watch a television ad or view an advert in a magazine, we know that it's appealing to psychological things. It's not necessarily true in the sense of trueness. It's just trying to engage our desires and our hungers and get us to react in that way. And so we live in an age that is saturated by falsehood. It's saturated. I mean, you just have to look at politics, both South African and global politics. I mean, are the politicians nowadays telling the truth? I think that not many of them don't know what the truth is anymore. Once you've told so many lies, you forget what's really true. You get lost in the cosmos, as one writer said. So, and I think that's the atmosphere in which we find ourselves. And it's easy to slip into that, particularly if we come from a culture that likes to please everyone and keep the peace. That is very much, you are tempted all the time to just keep the peace and you don't quite tell the truth. In fact, telling the truth can be really disruptive to unity and to peace. And so we have a problem because we're all sucked into this. I myself have found just in these days that I feel God speaking to me a lot about being more and more grounded in Scripture. And this year, for the first time, and I should have done it years ago, but for the first time, I'm going through the Bible in 1 year. And in fact, I'm just using a podcast. Like, I have a Bible app, and that Bible app is the Holy Bible, and then it has on it something that reads me the Bible, a section of Scripture every day. And I'm doing it with the guy who wrote Alpha Course, and then he does a commentary on it. And it's a fantastic resource. So, I mean, we know that there are dangers with these things, but they can also be helpful. And so I'd encourage you, all of us, I believe God is calling us increasingly these days to truth. And truth starts in your personal life, and then it moves to our corporate life. So quiet times, make time. I want to encourage you in these days, make time And Craig was saying this last week, make time just to be alone with God in the morning. If the Bible is not on this thing, put it away. Read the Bible. But if you're listening, you can use this. It can help you connect with God. If you're reading Scripture every morning, because we want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Bible studies. Increasingly, we are looking at using Bible study, getting people into Scripture because people are not familiar with Scripture anymore. And preaching and teaching are really essential. So that's point one, truth in an age of fake news. We need to devote ourselves to truth. And that's the truth of God, the truth of His Scripture, the truth of His love, the truth of what He's up to in the world. Okay, number two, love in an age of me first. Well, I mean, I listen to my daughter's music, and it's quite extraordinary how much it is all about the person singing. It's all about me. I'm the best. I'm the greatest. And we live in an age where Trump is saying America first, and our own president is saying my family first, former president, my family first. And me, and which is all over society. Everyone is saying, well, I want to accumulate for my own family. And we live in a me first era. And I've just found in my own life that God is calling us to be giving, to be for the stranger, particularly as we do a church plant. It's a brilliant time to be aware of others who are outside of oneself. And so we're called to hospitality, and we've been trying to do hospitality, and particularly fathering the fatherless, because so many in our society are fatherless. And in terms of application to us, to this church, you're called to fellowship. As the eldership, I was on the eldership of this church for many years. I know you're called to these things because we've been discussing them for years. Meals in homes, small groups, and community events. Let's give ourselves to those things in these days. As society breaks down, as many people are just living as individuals, so let's gather communities. Let's be those who are catalyzing community in Jesus. Thirdly, gratitude in an age of addiction. And our situation is really, we have an age of unchecked passions. And there's porn, there's human trafficking, there's drug cartels. All those things are operating in our communities, in our society. You just have to go on the internet and it comes at you all the time. You know, I was just recently in Amsterdam earlier this year. And Amsterdam, as you know, is known as a godless city. It's known as a city of, well, I mean, there are crowds of young men that come across from the UK all to come and have their stag parties there. And you can imagine what they get up to, because there's so much prostitution and human trafficking and so on and so forth. But while I was there, I was just actually listening to this Cultural Moment podcast, and it was just striking me so much how God has another agenda, and that He has a great thing to call us into in these days. And it, even while I was in the city, I was just struck by the need. These people are searching for something. That's why they're there. That's why they're there, for their experiences. For wherever you go, the whiff of dacha is everywhere. As you ride around the city on a bicycle, you just get this whiff of dacha every now and then. But God birthed in me just a compassion for the city. And I just felt, God, you can do it again in this city. You can do it again. You, by your Holy Spirit, you can come and you can save these people. We need to turn our hearts to God. And then I went to another city called Göttingen, and in just recently, Göttingen in Germany. And I just found God just setting me apart. Setting me apart. You know, I got a passion for the world again. Not just for Africa, but for the world. I just felt God can do revival again in these places. I was staying with a German guy, doesn't know anything about God. But we had such great chats, and you know, I was just sharing the gospel. I'd, you know, shared with him how the, you know, it's different to religion. It's a free gift. And he had never heard, he clearly never heard this before. And I just felt, you know, this is something. Everyone is addicted. Everyone is addicted. And but God can set them free. And it's this issue of what is satisfying for our soul. And I found, particularly for myself, gratitude is the key. It might sound strange, but gratitude is the thing that swings you to God, to satisfying your soul in God. In the midst of all sorts of addictions that can come in, it's gratitude to God, what He's done and what He's about to do. And so that brings us application. We are called to holiness, to be set apart, devoted, to be accountable to Him, to exposing idols to one another, to having our satisfaction in Christ. And we do that in community. We can't do that as individuals. We do that in community. Finally, communion in an age of distraction. We live in an attention deficit age. We're preoccupied and overwhelmed, and Craig touched a lot on this about this last week. Many of us are just far, far too busy. And we really need to take time to be apart and set aside with God. And we found in our church plant that God has been calling us to 24-hour prayer. So once a month, we've been giving ourselves to 24-hour prayer. And it's been the most wonderful thing. Often when you think about it beforehand, you think, oh, what a great effort. But when you get into it, you just think, man, how do I live without this? I should be doing this every week, or I should be doing this every day. And really, this thing of being devoted, giving attention, setting things aside, and giving time to God is what really keeps us on the straight and narrow. And in terms of application to this church, we are called to be a people of His presence. We need undistracted devotional time. 24-hour prayer. I know that initiative started in this church. And I hope you're carrying on with it. I hope you're still doing 24/7 at points during the year, even if you're not doing it every month. And soaking sessions. I want to encourage you as a church. Don't give up on just time that is just given to God. I know many of the prayer meetings that we used to have here, we would just soak in God. I want to encourage you, it's critically important in these days to be soaking in God, to be spending time in His presence. Because it's during those times that we start to hear Him speak to us, and He starts to speak prophetic words, and that changes our minds and changes our circumstances. Those are the four things. So in conclusion, what the fruit of the Spirit looks like, the outcome of the New Testament disciples devoting themselves to those four things was signs and wonders, social justice, worship, and salvations. If you read that passage, that was the outcome. Aren't those the things we want? Those are the very things that we want to have characterize us as a people. But it doesn't come by pursuing those things. It comes by these four things. Just four things you've got to give yourselves to. Truth, love, gratitude, and communion. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank You so much for these simple things that You call us to. Thank You, Lord, it's possible in Your Holy Spirit. You can enable us to do these things. And so, Lord, we just ask of You, Lord, that You would come by Your Holy Spirit and that you would empower us, that you would make us clear on these things, that we would give ourselves, we wholly devote ourselves to truth, to love, to gratitude, to communion in Jesus' name. And we know, Lord, the outcome will be signs and wonders, will be justice, will be worship, and will be salvations. We thank you, Lord God, that this is not rocket science, but it is something that you're calling us to. It's something that is possible because we have your Holy Spirit living in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.